Thank you for listening to this sermon from Hope Church, Toronto West. It is our prayer that through these audio sermons, you are challenged and transformed by the Word of God, built up in love and faith, and drawn more to the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, as you prepare your heart to receive God's Word, we pray that His Spirit would use the sermon powerfully in your life.
Amen. Well, good morning, church family, and happy Mother's Day. Today is, in fact, Mother's Day, and on this Mother's Day, we're going to jump into God's Word, continuing in our series called Never Alone, Rediscovering the Necessity and Power of Life Together. But we're going to continue this morning with a specific emphasis on mothers, not just because it's Mother's Day, but because mothers make up a significant portion of the Church of Jesus Christ, and it is good, it is right, it is pleasing to God, we believe, to address and honor and teach the mothers of our church when we have opportunities to do that. And so that's what we're going to aim to do today. The Bible has a lot of instruction for mothers. But I also want to acknowledge before we jump into God's Word today that addressing and honoring and teaching mothers is sometimes met with mixed feelings. If we're honest with ourselves this morning, we'll recognize that we live in a broken world, and for many of us watching and listening and streaming today, Mother's Day is in fact a bittersweet day. Maybe for some of you, Mother's Day is just plain bitter. Now, among us, there are grieving mothers, and we want to acknowledge that. For many, Mother's Day is difficult because you're a grieving mother. Among us, there are those who are grieving the loss of their own mothers. And we just want to stop and acknowledge that and recognize that that's a reality for so many of us. That among us, there are those who have strong and yet unfulfilled desires to be mothers themselves. And so when Mother's Day rolls around, it gets to be a difficult time. We want to stop and acknowledge that. And yet there are many among us who have never experienced any of these realities at all. It's important for us to stop and realize that this day is in fact bittersweet for many. Maybe for you, it's just bitter. We care about you. We love you. And I'm praying this word would encourage you in some way. Loved ones, my goal this morning is not to say everything that needs to be said about mothers or to mothers. And my goal this morning is not to cover every single circumstance represented in our church related to mothers or motherhood. My goal this morning is simple. I want to honor motherhood from the vantage point of one specific passage of Scripture in such a way that encourages and teaches and gives hope to the mothers of our church and, listen, and to the rest of our church collectively, because we are one body in Jesus Christ. Remember, we are never, never alone. So let's see if we can get all this done. I want you to take your Bibles right now and turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to be reading from verses 14 to 17. And the title of this morning's message is this: A Word to Mothers. A Word to Mothers. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 17. The Apostle Paul writes this. He says this: "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." All right, we're going to jump right into our text this morning, and this is where we're going to start. If you have a pen and a paper in hand, I want you to write this down with your Bibles open. As a fellowship of believers, as a church, as one body, we must never underestimate the power of, write this down, a mother's influence. As a fellowship, as a church, we must never underestimate the power of a mother's influence. I want you to notice verse 14 again. The Apostle Paul says this, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed," watch this, "knowing from whom you learned it." Now, these verses come to us within the wider context, of course, of Paul's letter to Timothy. You need to know that 1st and 2nd Timothy were written by, the Apostle Paul as his final will and testament as he approaches the end of his life. And it's in these letters that the Apostle Paul's aim has been to pass on the mantle of gospel ministry to a young pastor named Timothy. So everything that he's writing in these letters, it's a big deal. But what makes the exhortations of these letters so insightful is that while Timothy was a faithful partner in the gospel and sound in his doctrine, Paul knew his temptation to waver. John MacArthur explains, "He therefore reminded him that God has not given him a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline, and lovingly commanded him not to be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." And so the Apostle Paul encourages Timothy in this letter to continue to remain committed to all that he's seen in Paul's own example and through Paul's own influence. I want you to see it. Notice it in verse 10 and 11 on the screen. Paul says, "You, however," now he's making an emphatic contrast there between Timothy and the false teachers he's just been denouncing earlier in the letter. He says, "You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness." Verse 11 says, "My persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra." So the Apostle Paul is preparing young pastor Timothy for a life of ministry by reminding him of his own example and his own influence. But here's what I want you to take particular note of today on this Mother's Day. That not only is Timothy to continue in what he's seen and learned from the example and the influence of the Apostle Paul, but notice this. In Paul's mind, there's an even more foundational example that he feels it necessary to mention again to young pastor Timothy. Notice it again now in verses 14 to 15. In verse 14, Paul says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed." Watch this now. "Knowing from whom you learned it." And notice this. "How from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings." Now, who exactly did Timothy learn from dating back to his childhood? Well, it seems obvious to me, but we get an even clearer clue by looking back in the letter at chapter 1, verse 5. I'm going to put it on the screen for you again. Notice it. Paul wrote this in chapter 1, verse 5 of 2 Timothy. He said, "I am reminded of your sincere faith," watch this, "a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well." So interesting, loved ones. So fascinating that in his final charge to this young pastor Timothy, who has been known to be tempted to waver from time to time, that the Apostle Paul doesn't just appeal to his own influence in Timothy's life, but he appeals to the influence of his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. Now, what does this tell us? Well, I'll tell you what it tells me. It tells me that seminary is not necessarily the most foundational factor in the making of a servant of Jesus Christ. It tells me that mentors are not necessarily the most foundational factor in the making of servants of Jesus Christ. It tells me that pastors and elders and deacons and Hope Kids teachers are not necessarily the most foundational factors in the making of servants of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what it tells me, loved ones. It tells me never to underestimate the power of a mother's influence. It's just remarkable to me that Paul, in this almost obscure and overlooked verse, that Paul exhorts Timothy, yes, Timothy, remember my example. Yes, Timothy, you have observed well my example and seen my influence, but be sure to continue in all that your mother and your grandmother have instilled in you from your childhood. When you're tempted to waver, young Timothy, yes, think of me, but Timothy, visualize your grandmother. Visualize your mother, how they labored with you, how they poured their lives into you, how they brought the gospel to bear upon your young soul. The Apostle Paul says, I'm so glad that you followed my teaching and my conduct, Timothy. But Timothy, you must continue in what you have learned in your earliest years from your grandmother and your mother. It's remarkable. As a fellowship, as a church, we must never underestimate the power of a mother's influence. Now, some of you may be wondering, what about Timothy's father? Where was he? Where was he in the midst of all of this? Well, the Bible gives us a clue that I think makes this exhortation by the Apostle Paul even more profound. I want you to notice Acts chapter 16, verse 1. It's on the screen for you. Acts 16, verse 1 says this. He, speaking of the Apostle Paul, came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived. That's where he met Timothy. Watch this now. Whose mother was a Jewess and a believer. Look at this. But whose father was a Greek. So what about Timothy's father? Well, Timothy's father was an unbeliever. Now, I grew up in the east end of the city, Scarborough. Markham and Lawrence is where we grew up. 1050 Markham Road was the address of our building. I have clear memories as a very young child of our apartment building. I have clear memories of my mother packing up my sister and I early every Sunday morning to go down the elevator, to walk down the street to a bus stop, to get on the bus, and then to get off the bus, to walk a little bit further to get to church. And she did it. She did it alone because my father wasn't a believer at the time. Now, not only was my mother resolved to get us to church, but she was resolved to get the gospel of Jesus Christ into us. In fact, it was my mother who led me to the Lord by my bedside at a very, very early age. It was my mother who modeled for me and taught me the priority of fervent prayer. It was my mother who taught me that it was more blessed to give than to receive. It was my mother who demonstrated that the most important thing we could ever do in our lives was to be faithful followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she did it on her own at the time, because at the time, my father wasn't a believer. She did it on her own, but not really, because God was using her. This would be her life's greatest work. She says to my sister and I so often that the most important thing, the thing that mattered most to her, was that we would be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by God's grace and according to his grace and his sovereignty, we are followers of Jesus Christ. I share that just to illustrate this truth that we find in 2 Timothy chapter 3. We must never underestimate the power of a mother's influence and a mother's credibility, because by the help and the power of the Holy Spirit, listen to me now, mothers, you are not only teaching, but you are instilling values and ideas and perspectives and habits and ways of thinking about the world that are gradually yet firmly being established into the hearts of your children. That's why the great apostle Paul puts forward Timothy's mother and his grandmother as two rock solid sources, two credible sources of his confidence. He says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed. Here it is, knowing from whom you learned it. Amazing. Now, there's one truth that I want you to see here from this text this morning. It's this: a Christian mother's influence is powerful. And as a church, as one body, as a fellowship, we must never underestimate the power of a mother's influence. So let's make some application this morning. First on the screen, mothers of small children. I wrote this down. Maybe you feel like it's too chaotic. Maybe you feel like you're not having much influence in the lives of your children. Maybe you feel like your efforts are in vain. You feel like they're not listening. They're not retaining. They're not respecting. Listen to me, loved ones. Never underestimate the power of your influence, mothers. You must press on. On the screen for you, Deuteronomy 6:6-9 says this: these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Listen, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Oh, loved ones, specifically mothers of small children, you feel like it's too chaotic. Let the day begin and end with God's word. Let every moment in between be an ongoing dialogue and recognition and celebration of the glory of God in all creation. Mothers of young children, you feel like it's chaotic. Press on. Never underestimate the power of your faithful influence. Secondly, making application, mothers of adult children. Maybe you're watching and you don't have small children anymore. Mothers of adult children, maybe you feel it's too late. Maybe you feel it's too late. You feel like you've missed the mark, and now it's too late for you to have any kind of influence in your children's lives because they're all grown up. And today, maybe part of your grieving is related to this. And I say this to you also, mothers of adult children who are feeling like it's too late. Listen, never underestimate the power of your influence. Listen to me. It's true, the time of teaching has passed. It's true, the time of correction has passed. It's true, the time of discipline has passed, but the time for prayer is now. The time for prayer is now. On the screen, Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. The praying mother knows that this is God's work to do. So the time for influence in prayer is now. On the screen, Matthew 19:26 says, but Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. The praying mother knows that with God it's never too late. This is God's God's work to do. John 6:44 on the screen, Jesus says, no one can come to the Father unless I draw him. The praying mother knows that Jesus must act on behalf of her children. This is God's work to do. And so never underestimate the power of a mother's influence, a power that is given and fueled at the throne of grace. You mothers who feel like it's too late because your children are all grown up. Oh, loved ones, making application today. Never underestimate the power of a mother's influence by teaching and correcting and disciplining, but also by praying. The throne of grace is the place where mercy and grace and help is given and where God acts on behalf of his people who acknowledge that they can do nothing apart from him. Loved ones, this man of God, Timothy, that the Apostle Paul writes to here in 1 and 2 Timothy, this man of God was not made in the seminary. This man of God was made in the home by God through his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois. As a fellowship, we must never, ever underestimate the power of a mother's influence. And then secondly and finally, I want to share this last thought with you. So powerful and so necessary for all of us to acknowledge. As a fellowship, we must never underestimate the power of a mother's influence. Secondly and finally, we must never underestimate the power, write this down, of the Word of God. Never underestimate the power of the Word of God. Notice verse 14 and 15 again. It says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood, watch this, you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So lest we think that we're promoting some kind of man-made strategy for motherhood and parenting, Paul makes it very clear what the secret of Eunice and Lois's success really was. It was that from childhood, Timothy has been acquainted with what? The sacred writings. This is a reference to the Word of God. And not only was Timothy acquainted with the sacred writings, but Paul makes it clear that it was these sacred writings that made him wise for salvation in Jesus Christ, the Word of God. As a fellowship, we must never underestimate the power of the living and active Word of God. That's why the Apostle Paul goes on into an elaborate exposition of the inspiration of Scripture in the very next verses. I want you to look at it in your Bible, verses 16 to 17. He goes on to say this, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. The Word of God is inspired by God. It is his inerrant Word. The power then of a mother's influence is found in the power of the Word of God. And the power of Timothy's ministry will be found in the power of the very Word of God. Now, why then? Why should a mother spend her life pouring the Word of God into her children? Because she is convinced that all that she needs, She is convinced that all that her children really need, she is convinced that all anyone could ever need is found in the book, in the Word of God. So she cherishes it, she lives by it, she obeys it, and she shares it. The Word of God, inspired by God, breathed out by God, profitable for teaching and reproof and correction and for training in righteousness. Oh, loved ones, this is the greatest commitment any mother could ever make. A commitment to abiding in Jesus Christ and having the words of Jesus, the Word of God, abiding in her so that she is filled with the Word of God in order to impart the Word of God. All that her family could ever need, all that she could ever need, the thing that will strengthen and fill and empower her motherhood and her family and her children, the inspired Word of God. Now, I just want to stop right here and challenge all of us, our whole church, our whole fellowship. What is our commitment to this book? Never underestimate the power of the Word of God. Now, if you're watching right now, you're saying, man, I've fallen off the track. I haven't picked up the Bible in a while. I'm not really sure how to read it. Maybe you're a mother and you feel right now a tremendous weight because you're thinking, man, I haven't been doing that. Loved ones, this is not the place of guilt. This is a place of grace. And it's a place for each of us to come back again to the things we know matter the most. There is a call being sounded forth, a call right now, not only to mothers, but to fathers and to children and to adult children and to singles and to the married couples in our church with children and without, to come back to the authority of the Word of God. It is all that we could ever need. And so I was reading earlier this week about Billy Graham, and I think almost everyone knows the name Billy Graham when you hear that name. Billy Graham, the most famous evangelist of our time. He spent his life traveling all over the world preaching the gospel to thousands, but perhaps not many are familiar or as familiar with his wife, Ruth Graham. In a tribute, one of her daughters shared the following, and I wanted to share it with you, and particularly to encourage the mothers in our midst, but also to encourage all of us together as one body, as a fellowship. Listen to what one of her daughters shared. She said this: I would go down to my mother's room early in the morning. Her light would be on, and I would find her at her big flat-top desk. She would have about 14 different translations of the Bible spread out. She would be reading and studying her Bible. I would go down to her room late at night. I would see the light on underneath the door, and I'd go in, and she would be on her knees in prayer. As I look back on my childhood, I cannot remember any impression whatsoever that my mother was ever lonely. She may have been lonely, but I never saw it. I believe that our Heavenly Father, our Savior, saved my mother from loneliness because of her daily walk with the Lord Jesus. He was the love of her life. I saw that in her life. It was her love for the Lord Jesus, with whom she walked every day, that made me want to love him and walk with him like that. I read this and I was so touched. I was so moved. Never underestimate the example and the influence of a godly mother, and never underestimate the power of the Word of God. What a testimony of a mother who loved Jesus and was shaped by His Word, and the testimony of one of her children who observed this. Loved ones, as I read this, I began to pray and think to myself, oh, that this would be the testimony of the precious children of our church. Not just as they observe their own mothers. Yes, I pray that the children of our church would see the mothers of our church diving into the Word of God and making them acquainted with these sacred writings. But not just as they observe their own mothers, but I pray as the children of our church observe the fathers in our church, as they observe the young and the seasoned married couples of our church, as they observe the single men and women of our church, that the precious children of our church would get a taste of what it means to be one body in Jesus Christ. And wherever they look, not just at their own mother and their own father, but wherever they look at our church, they see people who love the Word of God and who are devoted to the truth of the Scriptures and who care so much that all the little children of our church receive this Word. Oh, loved ones, would the children, the many children of Hope Church, one day say that it was the love that the people of Hope Church had for Jesus, with whom the people of Hope Church walked every day, that made them want to love Jesus and walk with Him too. Now, here's the good news, loved ones. Maybe you feel far off. Maybe you're a mother. You feel like you haven't been doing this. You feel like you haven't been faithful in the way you want to be. Again, not a moment for guilt, but a moment of grace and a moment to receive from the Lord the calling and the commissioning. Not just you, mothers, but every single person of our church. Never to underestimate the power of the Word of God in your life and in the lives of the people in our church and the people we come in contact with every day. Oh, loved ones, I pray that we're a church that doesn't leave the parenting of the children just to their parents, but that we would join hands together. And if you're grieving on this Mother's Day for some reason that only you know about, I pray that you would know that in Jesus Christ, He wants to give you all that your heart needs and is found in Him. It's found in His book. It's found in His Word for you. He loves you. He loves us together as a body. And I pray that He would be mobilizing us together to be a fellowship like none other in these days, because we are people of the book. Mothers, I pray that you're encouraged on this Mother's Day. Everyone else in our church, I pray that you're encouraged on this Mother's Day to cling to Jesus Christ and have all that you need and all your needs met in Him, because He is able. Let's pray together, church, right now. Let's pray to that end. Lord Jesus, we pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray that we would be a people who truly find all that we need in you, Lord. That we would believe that all Scripture is breathed out by God. It's profitable for us, for every need that we have. I pray specifically right now for the mothers of Hope Church. I pray that we would find refuge, that the mothers of Hope Church would find solace and solitude and strength as they pour over the pages of your book each day. And for those that are grieving losses, that are struggling with some kind of turmoil that only you know about, oh, how I pray you would encourage us all in Christ and in your Word. I pray these things right now with faith. Make us a church, make us a fellowship, one body, unified in all things, and grounded in your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
For more resources and information about Hope Church Toronto West, please visit hopechurchtw.ca.